Today on Seculo, Rick Grinnell is in the studio with us, and the FBI reportedly tried to hide the Biden bribery recordings from Congress. We'll talk about that more and take your calls today on Seculo.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo, everybody. We are taking your phone calls, too, 1-800-684-3110. And today you have an opportunity not just to hear from Rick Grinnell, our senior advisor for foreign policy and national security, but he's in studio with us, and he'll be taking your phone calls as well at 1-800-684-3110. We've got a lot of different topics to talk about, get into politics as well. But right off the bat, we've got this new report we didn't get to yesterday on the broadcast about Chuck Grassley, who went to the floor of the U.S. Senate. Do we have time to play it in the first 5 minutes, guys? I think it was just very powerful to hear this from such a respected U.S. senator who is not the type who just throws bombs to throw bombs. He's very serious. And when he makes allegations or sees allegations, I think he would only bring them forward if he really thought, hey, something needs to be done here. Take a listen.
According to the 1023, the foreign national possesses 15 audio recordings of phone calls between him and Hunter Biden. According to the 1023, the foreign national possesses two audio recordings of phone calls between him and then Vice President Joe Biden. These recordings were allegedly kept as a sort of insurance policy for the foreign national in case that he got into a tight spot.
We know, Rick, because he was giving out allegedly $5 million each to Vice President Biden and Hunter Biden. This was interesting because that was redacted from what the FBI brought to Congress. What the FBI didn't realize was the whistleblower had already brought the unredacted FD-1023 form from the FBI. So Comer and Grassley already knew this information, but the FBI tried to hide the fact that these tapes might exist from Congress.
What is going on in Washington, D.C.? This is outrageous. We have a U.S. senator on the floor of the Senate saying there is a foreign national with recordings of then Vice President Joe Biden asking for bribes. Think about that. There are recordings that the FBI of the United States has. They have not taken action on it. They have not come forward. They tried to hide it from Republicans. This is total corruption, Jordan.
Yeah. And what was even more interesting to me, Rick, when you add this to it, and when you kind of boil this down, is what was Burisma looking for with the Bidens? It wasn't just the board seat for Hunter Biden, which was a separate payment than these $5 million. They wanted access to the U.S. energy.
Access.
Which is interesting because in public, even under the Obama administration, they're very anti U.S. energy. But I guess in private, they were willing to discuss bringing in a foreign company to access U.S. energy.
It's amazing what $10 million will do.
Oh, sure.
Completely change your policies, completely change your public pronouncements from your private policies. Look, I'm thankful that we have Chuck Grassley. Yep. I know Ron Johnson has done a ton of work here. We've got some really good senators and congressmen who are digging deep on this. But the reason why the Biden team gets away with this, the reason why Joe Biden and Hunter Biden keep getting away with breaking the law and being corrupt is because the media does not pressure them. There is no pushback from the media.
If you flip the names here, and I don't even want to do it because it's not fair to Don Jr. himself, but if you flip that name here, he'd already be arrested. I mean, and facing some serious charges, it would have happened years ago.
Right.
Years ago. But I want to hear from you folks, too, 1-800-684-3110. We know the U.S. attorney in Delaware was given this information. So why is it taking so long? Do you think it's the Department of Justice trying to stop that U.S. attorney from really acting independent like they promised that he was going to do? Or do you think it's just overwhelmed with info, or that they have no interest in bringing real charges against Hunter? 1-800-684-3110. Give us a call. questions. Even CNN and folks on CNN, Ellie Honig, who are like, what is going on with this Hunter Biden investigation? 5 years. A U.S. attorney was appointed by President Trump, David Weiss in Delaware, has had 5 years. It was reportedly given this information on the FD 1023 form, so would have had plenty of time to figure out if this was at all accurate and should be investigated. That might extend the investigation because then you'd have to go to a foreign national, maybe try to get access to those tapes. That's not necessarily easy to do, but you'd certainly have had time in 5 years. You'd also have time in 5 years to handle tax fraud, registration issues that may have been criminal in nature. We have some of those on the laws, on the books of the country. So where are those charges? Like what is there? And even people on CNN are saying, this just doesn't make sense. Take a listen.
This is preposterous. This has been pending, according to our reporting at CNN, since 2018, 5 years. And this, by the way, this investigation is not the laptop. This investigation is a tax issue. Did Hunter Biden declare his income? And a sort of obscure gun law. Did he possess a gun while he was addicted to drugs, which you're not allowed to do under federal law? Did he lie about that? But 5 years, I mean, that's a 5 week investigation. Somebody, and this spans the Trump administration and the Biden administration. Someone's got to make a call on this case. I don't know what is going on, but it's beyond anything I've seen before.
This is what I'm concerned about, Rick. I feel like I'm always careful about going after the U.S. attorneys without knowing more, because what I do know is that though he was told he was going to have independence, and Joe Biden said, I'll keep him on because I don't want it to look like we're going to put in our own person to investigate my son or us or my brother. But then he's still got to deal with his boss is Merrick Garland.
Yeah.
And when he's asking for information or when he needs resources, he has to go to the Department of Justice to ask for them. And so we don't know how much he's been stonewalled. He hasn't been able to talk and tell us that yet. That's what it seems like. It seems like it takes so long because he's not getting the green light to move forward.
Well, look, we all know that
that'd be best case scenario for him.
Yeah. We all know that this guy is not getting promoted if he tries to indict Hunter Biden. He'll be out. He lives in Washington, D.C., or he works in Washington, D.C. So his social circle is all about Washington, D.C. He is going to be persona non grata. And so he's got to walk very delicately. Yep. The Washington, D.C., especially DOJ and the FBI, is highly partisan and political towards the left. We all know that. So here is a guy who, now you've got CNN analysts calling things like the obscure gun law from Hunter Biden. Yep. It's obscure, really, because this is literally the hinge law that so many on the left try to say. Mentally ill patients or drug abusers right. should not have access to guns, right? They pound this issue constantly. If you have committed a crime, why do you have an access to a gun? So suddenly now CNN is calling this an obscure gun law when we know, because we have photographic proof that Hunter Biden broke the law. And yet nothing is done. So I agree with him that it's taken 5 years. We should put up or shut up type of
action. I feel the same way, too. It's tough as Republicans to keep. And that's why Washington Post gets away with these headlines like they've got this. I mean, it's a thin evidence on Burisma. I mean, the fact that we're just learning a lot about this Burisma extra deals. We knew about that he was on the board, but the $5 million payments, the allegations, these tapes that might exist as well. That's almost like a new investigation. I feel like David Weiss could say, on the issues that I was first dealt with,
yeah.
Here we go, the tax fraud, the gun issues, we can move on that and still keep the rest of the investigation open.
They're probably regretting it, right? They're probably regretting that they didn't quickly take care of these drug, gun charges and all of these other issues. Because now what's been thrown in their lap is Burisma. And the fact that the Washington Post is saying that an audio recording is thin evidence. First of all, Philip Bump, the Washington Post, has not heard these tapes.
No.
He is total speculation. And he is speculating because somebody on the Hunter Biden team is telling him to be dismissive. And this is the way the Washington Post works. They have to protect their social circle. And so they dismiss charges like this. Look, we talk a lot about this, Jordan, but we're at the point that when the media in Washington, D.C. doesn't push back on both parties, it really is like a regime-style media. Yep. Types of things we call out in other countries.
Yeah, I want to take a phone call, 1-800-684-3110. Rick Rinnell's in studio. You can ask him questions as well, and he'll be taking your calls and questions, 1-800-684-3110. Let me go to Dick in North Dakota on line one. Hey, Dick, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I listen to you guys quite often, and you know I'm encouraged by you, but I'm disappointed and discouraged when I read the news and watch TV, because how can we move forward as a nation when we have such a corrupt court system? I just don't see any possible way that we can succeed. And then I just read now that 20 Republicans sided in with the Democrats about Schiff. So how can we move
on the censure? Yeah, I think there were some issues on that censure. There was like a $16 million fine attached to it, which I think some of them were concerned. Well, if we start playing politics with this, are they going to fine me for saying something? Which I can understand to some extent. There's a lot of protections, too, for what members of Congress say legally on the floor of the Senate, as much as you don't like that. I think it could have probably been written maybe a little differently and gotten through. A censure is still a big deal, but the add-on penalties, I think, scared just a handful of enough Republicans away from saying, you know, I'm the type of Republican that they'd probably use this against me, and that would bankrupt me for the rest of my life. So there is that concern there. I do think the bigger picture, though, Rick, is we've actually seen a much better federal court system because the amount of judicial nominees President Trump was able to get through in just 4 years, fighting to get those nominees through, making sure the U.S. Senate was doing its job to get them through. So we saw an improved judiciary. Now it's more about cleaning house, not so much in the courts, but in the DOJ. That's when it takes a bold leader who's willing to take the heat that President Trump is still taking for just starting that process.
Look, Dick from North Dakota is exactly right. There's a frustration that we all have that we're up against this corrupt system, and we want to know, is it worth it? What's happening? Is the whole system imploding? I share his frustration in many ways, but I do think you're right that it's getting better. We certainly got to thank Donald Trump for giving us a huge number of conservatives on the court. So that's one thing. But I also think that if you're listening to us, you can't just be sitting on the sidelines. You have to do something. Ronald Reagan said every generation has to fight for their freedom. This is your chance to fight for your freedom. We are here at ACLJ.org. I would encourage people to raise their voice. Maybe some people can be louder on social media. They can talk a good game. There's a lot of people who are influential in being able to convince people. And some people have to write bigger checks.
That's right.
But we have to do something. You can't just sit back and hope that somebody else does something.
Yeah, I mean, I think by seeing Rick now in studio with us, you see as part of our team, some of the other work that we're working on at the ACLJ that we talk about. We kind of go through the news stories here. We get Rick's analysis. But when he's in studio with us, you see how we're all working together, and this all works as a team behind the scenes as well, not just what you're seeing here. So it's a great opportunity to support the work of the ACLJ and see the big picture issues that we are working on, which is the fundamental changes that we need to see in Washington. These are not small issues, and they are not short-term issues. They are long-term issues that you have to be dedicated to doing and to fixing. And so you can't just say, I'm interested in it in a day or a year. These are long-term issues. We've got to get the right people elected, executive branch, and in Congress to get that done and to protect those entities and to reform those entities so they are working for us instead of working for Washington. So support the work of the ACLJ. Donate today at ACLJ.org. Rick, before I go to the phone calls again, I wanted to ask you about this because it was interesting to me that it took Grassley and Comer both coming out and saying, you know, they tried to keep these tapes away from us in Congress. Mm-hmm. What would have been the reason they would have redacted that part of the – I mean, what would the reasoning be? They're going to give this letter, but, we don't want them to see that this guy might have actual proof of evidence of this.
I think there's only one reason, which is they would say there's an ongoing investigation. But that's what we were talking about earlier, the frustration that a 5 years ongoing investigation. But look, I think the members of Congress who are in charge of oversight
–
have a responsibility to say to the FBI, we hear you, but we're going to overrule you. And that is their role. The FBI doesn't get to just play on their own and make decisions without Congress coming in and having a big, loud voice to say, we're going to overrule you. We want to see this evidence.
Yeah, and I think, too, you know, David Weiss, they could talk to him. They don't have to do it publicly. They could bring him in and just ask him questions. Is your is your investigation going okay? Are you getting the resources you need? What is all this? Like, where are we in this? Because we're getting this information. We're told you have the information. You don't have to tell us about your investigation, but are you getting pushback? Are you being allowed to do your job? Because we're 5 years in, and I mean, in those 5 years, we've seen President Trump be, you know, impeached once on the way out when he was no longer even president. We've seen an indictment in New York, an indictment in federal court in Florida, and you still haven't moved at all on much more simple criminal issues. And you haven't made the decisions whether to prosecute or not on those decisions. And then this Burisma thing, did you really get it in 2020? And is it just that complicated, or did you just get it in 2023? And those are questions Congress can ask without interfering in the investigation, just so they understand where it goes. We'll be right back on Seculo, taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. To Seculo. Rick Grinnell is in studio with us. We're taking your calls. We're taking your questions and your comments as well. I want to go right to Daniel in Nevada on line three. Daniel, thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Well, thank you. I just want to make a quick comment. Everybody acts like they're real surprised at what's going on, and I'm not much of a TV or news watcher, but the only thing I could think of is when Hillary says, if Donald Trump wins, we're all going down. So that tells me everybody's hand is in the cookie jar. So nobody, FBI, DOJ, whatever agencies you want to call it, the district attorneys, they're all slow walking it because everybody's got their hand in the cookie jar and they're afraid to say anything.
You know, it's an interesting point. I think there was a lot of fear early on when he won. But Rick, the truth was he kind of took the high road and said, you know what? That's the past. We're going to work on the future. Hillary Clinton is the past. I want to work on making America great again. That's gonna be a distraction. So we're moving on. They're the opposite. It's actually the Biden team and the Democrats who have said, we're not going to stop on Donald Trump. Even when he's not in office, we're going to keep going after him. We're going to keep trying to prosecute him and do anything we can to keep him out of Washington, D.C.
Look, I think Daniel has a really good point because we've heard Hillary say these things. We've heard Joe Biden actually just say in 2022 that they were going to do everything they can under the Constitution to make sure that Donald Trump doesn't run. Not that they were going to beat him, but that he wouldn't be able to run. So Daniel's point is that we've got all of these high-profile Democrats articulating that they're coming at us and that, you know, don't forget – when Joe Biden said, hey, you don't want to mess with the intel agencies because they'll come at you and crush you.
Right.
That's outrageous. Yep. That's manipulating the federal government. That's weaponizing the federal government against people. It's an intimidation tactic. It's get in your place. We in Washington, D.C. are in charge. The rest of America, you should follow in line. We have ways to get you in line.
Right.
That is fascist.
Yeah, and you think about how many members of Congress, how many of our previous elected officials would come to terms with that probably pretty quickly when they get into office, and then they go from being very bold to not very bold, and they kind of shrink away into the shadows of Washington because they've been told, if you rock this boat too much, it takes you down, and there's nothing you can do about it. And then they've used, I think, President Trump as an example. See, we could even do it to a president. Mm-hmm. So if you're a member of the House— we'll quickly do it to you.
Get in line.
Yeah, exactly. Get in line. You can play with some of your issues about taxes. You can play with some of your issues with this and that. But if you're talking about reforming our agencies, no, no, no. If you're talking about our, changing our foreign policy, no. It's issues like that. I want to talk about one domestic issue. We'll get back into the bigger issues too and taking people's phone calls. So don't drop, folks. We're not going to stop taking calls on this. But you're from California. You live in California, Rick. The mayor of Los Angeles put out an interesting press statement today, very upset with what the governor of Texas did. It seems to me fairly minor for the size city of Los Angeles. Tell people about it.
Look, Karen Bass, who's our new mayor, she's a far-left activist, and she issued a statement that she's very upset with the governor of Texas for dropping off some migrants in Los Angeles. And her quote is, this evening, more than 40 people were sent by the governor of Texas to our city of Los Angeles. She's upset about 40 people. Let me just remind Karen Bass that for the last 10 years, we've had a sanctuary state and a sanctuary city where tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of migrants have come across California. We've got homeless encampments, people who are mentally ill, can't get jobs. Many of them are migrants. And she's upset about 40 people. We've had days where 40,000 are coming across the border. And she's upset about 40 from the governor of Texas. This is so political. It's missing the point. And it just shows how out of touch Karen Bass is.
Yeah. A lot of our audience, they'll call in when we talk about the issues going on California, some in Washington State, some in Oregon, and a lot of this has been the homelessness crisis, the drug crises, the immigration issue. And it's like, are people just unwilling to wake up to the problems, or have you also seen a lot of people just leave, that the people who did care kind of give up, which is unfortunate because these are major cities and very important states to our economy and to the country, to our military and our military bases that we have on the Pacific, that we shouldn't give up. But have you seen that as someone who lives there? People said, you know, I've fought this, I've tried, but I can't have my kids growing up around this.
Yeah, look, I see it all the time. Unfortunately, I think the people that are leaving California are the conservatives. The far left are really comfortable with high taxes and some of this craziness.
Yeah, they're okay with it.
They're okay with it. And so, you know, I hear a lot of other governors and states complain about those coming from California, and they say, oh, we got all these people from California. I would argue that they're the conservatives that are leaving California. Although, let's remember that no matter what state you live in, roughly 50% of the public is not voting.
Yeah.
You think about that. And I'm somebody who believes that the 50% that aren't voting are actually truly conservatives. They're working hard. They are completely over what the left is doing. They don't want anything to do with government. But if you force them to vote, if you encourage them to vote, if you get them to register, I think that they're going to vote for common sense. And that right now, common sense is conservative.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's not. We don't have to be afraid of people voting as Republicans or as conservatives. We need more people voting, and more people have felt that they've been disenfranchised by the system.
Yeah.
Especially right now, I think the Republicans are giving them an option to say, listen, we get it. We're listening to you. We're working. We want to work with you. Come alongside with us. Give us the majorities we need to actually help you. I'll get back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. I just think it's just unique to point out when you see it sometimes in New York City with the mayor there, and it's like, you know, 25 people came off a bus and they're like upset about that. And meanwhile, these are cities that take in 20,000 new people a day, and you don't get a press release on that at all. Back to the phones we go. Let's go to Waylon in Colorado online, too. Hey, Waylon.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Sure. We all know the DOJ, the FBI, they're all left-leaning, but the problem is not the left or the DOJ or FBI. The problem is the Republican Party. We had James Comer, who had contempt of Congress, charges against Chris Ray, and he gave up those contempt of charges in trade for the SD 1023 forms. The problem is with the Republican Party not holding anybody responsible. And that's just my comment. Thank you again for taking my call.
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, they have the House of Representatives right now, so that limits what you can do. And the contempt of Congress was, if you don't get us this document, they're still holding it out because they still want it delivered to them so that they can actually have the document, which they do actually. So there's some issues there as well. But I do think that he used contempt to get the document. It was more important to get the document than to hold Christopher Wray in contempt. It's true though, Rick. I mean, I have not seen anyone other than Donald Trump take these Washington actors to task. And the price he paid for it is very steep. It involves special counsels and impeachments and to this day still. So it takes people like that, bold enough, willing to put it all on the line. It's not going to be every Republican who's going to be willing to do that. There's a lot who will support it, but it's going to take leaders who will actually do it.
I think Waylon has got a good point, though. We're getting frustrated with some of these guys who say one thing during the campaign. They get to Washington, and then they completely become entranced with the Washington system. And it's frustrating. We got to hold them to account.
Second half hour coming up. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ. Donate today, aclj.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110, second half hour of the broadcast. Rick Grinnell is in studio with us. Tulsi Gabbard will be joining us in the final segment of the broadcast. She just gave a major speech, too, about President Trump's indictment and how it is undermining our democracy. So we'll talk to her about that. But I want to get right to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. We'll go to Pat in Texas on line five. Hey, Pat.
Thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call. Thank you for chasing the truth like you're doing. I really praise you guys doing a great job.
Thank you.
One question and one comment. Question is, are they pushing this out and pushing this out on investigation because the sooner or later it will run out of time? Or does it ever run out of time? Or can they actually investigate and push the charges that would be against these people? And if I own the bank and Trump was the president of the bank and the tellers were still in the money, do you think they want the bank president to come in and investigate them? I don't think so. I'll let you go.
Yeah, I think, listen, when you're talking about statute of limitations, you do always have to worry about that. It depends on the level of felony, usually. So if you're looking at felonies, it could go anywhere from 15 years to 8 years to 4 years to two. So it depends on what kind of felony. I do think David Weiss and the U.S. attorney there on some of those tax issues is getting pretty close. I would imagine that some of those are not going to rise to the level of Class A felony, even on the gun issue there. Now, certainly on the Burisma issue, that would probably rise to a 15-year statute of limitations. But we still, that's the statute of limitations, like if you just found out about it, it's 7 years in. That's not the case here, Rick. I think people just want to know. They saw it in Durham, and I think that they were upset with the fact that people clearly broke the law, and when they went to court, they were acquitted. And it's like our prosecutors aren't doing a good job.
First of all, I want to thank Pat from Texas for that question, because I'm not a lawyer, Pat. And I want to just point out that I do this with Jordan and Jay all the time. Of like, I have a legal question.
Yeah.
Can you go? And Jordan just immediately had the answer on that. That's one of the reasons I love being a part of ACLJ, yeah, is that I got built-in lawyers to ask immediately and to get an answer. But look, I think Pat's right. We're frustrated that it seems like they're just kicking the can down the road to save time. We've seen them do it successfully in the past, where all of a sudden, oh, look at that. There's no more time left on the clock. And so what really I think Pat's getting at is this urgency. Like, why can't we do something? And we've just talked about it in an earlier segment. That's where I think we've got to pressure them,
yep,
to say, you seem to be running out the clock,
yep,
and your credibility is at stake. The American people feel like they're not having a chance to hold these people to account.
Yeah, they pop up on TV. They make big allegations of stuff that they found. We talk about it, and then it's like, well, what did you do with it? Now, they can't force prosecutions. Members of Congress can't do that. But they can certainly ask these prosecutors and U.S. attorneys, what's going on here? Like, give a status report, why 5 years in? We've seen, no, why haven't you closed the case? I mean, if you haven't brought charges at this point, maybe you don't have anything to bring. At least do that.
So, do you think pressure on the judiciary or judges, do you think that helps?
Judges, not good. U.S. attorneys who work for the U.S. government, to say, especially 5 years in, to say, like, what's going on here? Do you need, especially I think if you go in at the right approach, which is, we know you were put here because they wanted to give the semblance that, the symbolism that we're not going to put in a Democrat-appointed U.S. attorney to investigate Hunter Biden. But do you feel like you're just a figurehead? Are you not getting the resources you need? Are you? So I think if you approach it that way, not like with a hammer, but more with a,
Maybe we should do a petition. Sign the petition to pressure these U.S. attorneys to get moving.
Yeah, they got to get moving, because or else it just looks like either they have nothing or that they don't have the resources to bring it. So, I mean, that's the only two options, is they're getting pushback from Merrick Garland, the DOJ, or they just don't have a strong enough case. And if they don't have enough strong enough case, it's kind of hard to believe that with all the information, they just need to shut it down and move on. I mean, it's true. You can't keep doing this to the base and dragging it out, acting like a charge is coming at any minute, then it doesn't come. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. We'll be right back on Seculo. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. Secchio. We are taking your calls. I do want to jump to an international issue quickly before we get back to your calls, because I do want to take those while we got Rick in studio. But Rick, finally, we see that Tony Blinken is heading to China, at least to meet with his counterpart, the foreign minister. But in the pre-meetings, pre-phone calls, the Chinese are saying, by the way, stop meddling in our affairs and harming your security and our security. And so it's a pretty tense pre-meeting. Almost feels like if they don't stop the rhetoric, they could cancel the meeting again. It's like a setup for, well, if you don't play the Chinese, if you don't play us up as a good player and a, you know, an economic, it's hard to say an economic friend anymore, but but you know, like they're calling the shots on these meetings.
Yeah, exactly. Look, I spent 8 years at the UN inside the Security Council dealing with the Russians and the Chinese, and the Chinese are fantastic at constantly pushing back. They work the system, and they're constantly pushing on you. Now, look, weak diplomats are going to immediately say, oh, we have to have some sort of nice conversations with the Chinese. We don't want them to be mad at us, so they change their behavior. You look at what happened when the Chinese came to Alaska early in the Biden administration. Right away, they came in and they started lecturing us on human rights. And what they were doing is they were using the Black Lives Matter talking points that the left has been pushing, that somehow America's racist. And when the Chinese are using the left's talking points against us, you know that there's a problem. Now what we've seen is the Biden administration really intimidated for some reason. Maybe it's Hunter Biden's laptop, but for some reason they're intimidated by the Chinese. When the Chinese push back, they immediately cry and retreat. Look what happened with the balloon. The Chinese are putting a spy balloon over our country. It took days before the Biden administration even reacted. You've got to ask yourself, why is it that the Biden administration is so afraid of making the Chinese upset? And now we have another example where they're lecturing us, saying, don't be telling us what to do, mind your own business. Meanwhile, in the Trump administration, we shut down the consulate, the Chinese consulate in Houston, because of spying activities. The Biden people are saying, oh, look at all of the spying activities in Cuba. Let me be clear, China is spying inside the United States at record levels in our universities. They are literally permeating our universities. It's laughable that the Chinese are going to tell us to mind our own business because we're suggesting that they're too close to us and spying on us.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it and you go, even to one of the other headlines, I mean, it's not very uplifting, but it's the U.S. is playing down chance of any breakthrough from this Blinken China visit. So it's like, why go? I get there's importance to keep the dialogue open, but you're already telling your friends in the media nothing good's going to come out of this.
You have to go in aggressive.
Yeah.
You have to go in with an agenda and saying, look, this is what we expect.
Right.
And by the way, my experience with China tells me that when you absolutely are confident in your position and you are determined to get something, that they see that strength as something that they can't go up against.
Yeah.
But every single time that we have a Biden administration official going up against China, they signal weakness even before they get there.
Let's go to Kate in Colorado on line three. Hey, Kate.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
And a comment and a quick question.
Sure.
Nobody gets off this earth alive, of course. Why is it that all of these administrations, like with Obama, Biden dating back so many years, Clinton's, and currently FBI, DOJ, why do they think they're going to get away with this? And what, just die and go away and that's it, and everybody gets what they want? And China, they're afraid of China because China's given Biden so doggone much money by now that they can't back out of anything, let alone do what's right for our country.
So I think, Rick, to the first point, let's go to the first
point. First point is that Kate should run for office.
Yeah, right? I mean, she's speaking the right messages. But the idea is that when she talks about the elites in Washington and the bureaucrats in Washington who are just the mainstays of D.C., I do feel like it's because they've been allowed to operate that way.
Absolutely.
No one, until really Donald Trump, I mean, we've seen some shakeups before in other administrations and people try, but I say in modern times and more recently, and the more you let them do that, the worse it gets. It just builds.
There's an analogy that a broken record just keeps saying the same thing over and over and over. And I'm going to sound like a broken record. But the reality is that we used to have a media complex in Washington that would push back on both Republicans and Democrats when they went too far. They crossed the line, they would get mocked, they would get headlines, they would get pushback. We don't have that system right now. We have a regime media in Washington that literally regurgitates what the Biden administration says. I'm sorry, but the State Department exists to call out this behavior around the world, and it's happening in our country. Now, what can you do about it? You absolutely, as a consumer of news, have to get more aggressive. You have to listen to ACLJ. You have to go on other, go to Newsmax, go to Fox, go to a whole bunch of other different sources. You have a responsibility to get the full picture. You can't just take what the Washington, D.C. media is telling you.
Yeah. I want to go back to the phones on this one, because you talked about this a lot, too, because you've overseen these agencies. You've overseen embassies. Bert in New Hampshire on line four. Hey, Bert.
Thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call. Just wanted to say a comment here. There has to be good people in these agencies, the DOJ, the CIA, the FBI, that will stand up and help Congress to get to the bottom of all this, to prosecute these bad actors, because it seems to me that no matter what is discovered or what is brought up, they get away with it, but they go after parents.
Yeah, I think, how difficult is it to stand up, Rick? I mean, in those agencies, when you are a bureaucrat who, again, is going to stand up against maybe what the groupthink is and say, you know what, I don't think this is right.
It's difficult. Bert is exactly right. And I will tell you that when I was DNI and I was trying to unredact and declassify information, and the Chris Wray said, no, you can't do that because you're going to risk sources and methods. And Bill Barr said, don't do it. I pushed through and I asked to speak to the rank and file FBI agents whose name was on the redactions.
Right.
And I went to them and I said, look, here's the unredacted version. This isn't a source. This isn't a method of how we're gathering sources. This is clearly a cover-up because DOJ looks bad and the FBI looks bad. This is a PR move. And those rank-and-file FBI agents agreed with me. They said, I didn't do that. My name is on that, but my boss did that. And so I think that Bert is exactly right, that the rank and file, the people who sign up to work for these agencies, are trying to do the right thing. They want to do the right thing, but they don't get promoted and they don't get raises unless we really have a system of leadership that's supporting them. And right now, they do not have leaders that support them.
That have their back. So it's very difficult. It's almost like you're giving up your career if you take that stand, which is difficult for people. I mean, you can understand why it's difficult for people. It's how they pay their bills. It's how they send their kids to school. It's how they ultimately retire. I want to play this out. Will just saw it. This was from Joe Biden. He was speaking to the League of Conservation Voters. He's got a new idea. Take a listen.
Well, we're going to win and we're going to help. We have plans to build a railroad from the Pacific all the way across the Indian Ocean. We have plans to build in Angola, one of the largest solar plants in the world. I can go on, but I'm not. I'm going off script. I'm going to get in trouble.
Yeah. Okay. The Angola thing, put that aside, because, again, there's a lot of issues with Angola, and maybe that's separate. The railroad from the Pacific to the Indian Ocean, unless he's talking about some special new technology that Peter Thiel or maybe Elon Musk is working on, those like underground systems. What is going on?
He doesn't know what he's saying.
This is insane.
This is insane. This is the president of the United States. Where is the Washington Post fact checkers? Where are the New York Times reporters? Maggie Haberman, are you there? Are you there? I mean, this is ridiculous that we have a president who is saying absurd buffoonery comments like this.
He knows it. He actually kind of knows it. The back of his head, he's losing it, but like then also realize it. Like, I just said something totally crazy.
And then he covers it up by saying, oh no, I'm off script,
yeah.
Which means the press office is really mad that I didn't stick to the script, because when I go off script, I say crazy things.
Again, if a Republican just made like a misstatement, you know, they mock them as idiots. Like, oh, they are just, they don't even understand science. They don't understand technology. They're anti-science. They're anti-technology. A railroad from, I guess, California to, I guess, Calcutta, maybe? I mean, I don't know. It just doesn't work.
How long do you think that's going to take, and how much money?
300 years. and again, yeah, it's probably not great for the environment either. We'll be right back on Seculo. Tulsi Gabbard from our team on the Seculo broadcast going to be joining us. We'll be right back. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. Folks, it's been a great show, and we've got a lot more for you right now. Our senior political and military analyst, Tulsi Gabbard, is joining us now. She just gave a major speech. She also tweeted about it on President Trump's indictment. And Tulsi, you tweeted out that the Trump indictment undermines our democracy. Explain to people, because I think what you've really pointed to is it doesn't matter if you are a Trump supporter, a Trump voter, or what side of the issues you're on, that this is so dangerous to just the basics of what we have in our country in the United States of America.
Yeah, thanks, Jordan. You know, as I said in my speech there at the Western Conservative Summit, and what I put out in that tweet was really gets at the heart of our democracy, which is the rule of law. We have to be able to trust that if a law is going to be enforced, it's going to be enforced equally across the board, no matter who you are, your politics, or anything else. And in this instance of this indictment against Trump, the examples of unfairness and unequal treatment under the law are stark and glaring, and it's very telling that the mainstream media so easily dismisses these examples. Obviously, we look to Joe Biden, who has these documents, classified documents, in his home and in other locations in the country. Obviously, the Hillary Clinton emails, the arrogance of how Hillary herself responded to the Trump indictment with some kind of stupid meme to sell more merch, referencing her emails, is pretty offensive to our democracy, to the rule of law, and to voters. We have to remember here, I remember watching the entire statement that James Comey made at the conclusion of his investigation into the Hillary Clinton email server debacle. And as he was going through this, I was like, my gosh, this is really bad. What you have found, the evidence that was discovered, was really bad. And I, like most people in the country, was very surprised at the end of it when he said, but we have chosen not to prosecute. And that's really the difference here, is in this case, we have a Biden administration. And as much as they claim to celebrate and stand for democracy, what they're actually doing is it looks a lot more like these authoritarian regimes we see in other parts of the world, where they direct the power of the state against political opponents. And it's exactly what we're seeing here in this unfair treatment under the law with Donald Trump. But also, we've seen it in how this administration has gone after conservative organizations, has gone after pro-life organizations and individuals, has gone after Christians and others. You and your organization, the ACLJ, you know this better than most. So I just think it's important, as we look at this historic moment, it's important for us as Americans to recognize the threat to our democracy that's playing out right before our very eyes, and not buy into the nonsense that much of the propaganda media is selling.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, even who they choose to lead these investigations. I think Jack Smith specifically was chosen because he's kind of been a political hitman. But he also was involved in one of our cases, because so we know well, and we had to stop even cooperating with the FBI, who was trying to actually help. They said they were going to help us. It's when the Tea Party groups were being, again, improperly targeted by the IRS. And then we uncovered an email from Jack Smith to the IRS. And in the email, he was trying to plan and figure out how to prosecute a couple of small grassroots American-run organizations for some kind of, somehow campaign finance, all like anything. He said basically anything they could find to criminally prosecute him so we can shut this movement down. And then here we have him years later, after he was working on that with Lois Lerner, years later, here he comes again. He's tried to take down Bob McDonnell. He's tried to take down John Edwards. He's tried to take down Bob Menendez because Bob Menendez was, you know, opposed to the nuclear deal with Iran, and that did not sit well with the administration. So it looks sometimes bipartisan until you actually look into the weeds and see, oh, these were people who were standing up against Washington. They didn't like the Washington establishment, regardless of if they had an R or a D next to their name, or if they had neither, if they were like the Tea Party movement. And they specifically choose these kind of aggressive prosecutors to go out and try, as you said. I mean, and it sounds, it's so un-American to take out their political opponents.
It truly is un-American. You know, when you look at some of the other examples that they have included in this indictment, lying to, what is it, the FBI or federal officials, immediately, how can we not look to James Clapper and John Brennan, who both lied under oath to Congress? There are other, many other examples as well within this administration and the Obama administration, and those in the national security state who also lied to Congress. Have they gotten any accountability? Have they been charged with federal crimes and indicted? No, absolutely not. Not only have they not been indicted or charged or prosecuted, they are lifted up as experts in intelligence and national security all over MSNBC and the mainstream media. And so the double standard here is important, I think, for us all as Americans to recognize, regardless of our political party. And this is the thing that it boggles my mind that those and some of my friends on the in the Democratic Party, that they are not seeing how dangerous this precedent is, that this historic event now sets a tone of some kind of new normal where whoever's in power can then use all of the powers and tools at their fingertips within the federal government and working with the media and with big tech and social media to go after their political opponents. That's not what this country has ever been about. It's not the vision that our founders had for us. And it is frankly something that can be turned around against any one of us as Americans. There are so many laws in this country, so many laws. We're in a position now where the government can find the law broken or the crime to go after the individual that they have targeted. And that's a very, very dangerous place for all of us.
I think when people realize the breadth of the Espionage Act and that you could be charged under an Espionage Act for not committing espionage, but at all, but for just having a paper, you're present, you're trying to negotiate back and forth with what are my papers, what are your papers, and oh, you didn't do it quick enough, so we're going to charge you with 37 different felony counts. With an interesting call coming in, I want to take it, Tulsi. Warren in Idaho on line two. Hey, Warren, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys, and Tulsi, thank you for your service, and Rick also. What can we the people do besides just at the voting box, like grassroots, to help bring these people accountable and to push them to get this stuff done before we run out of time? And I know supporting the ACLJ, we support you all that we can in prayer and everything.
Well, I think, Tulsi, voting is the number. So best thing that Americans can do to remove bad actors is voting. But I think the second part is we have to keep the pressure on the people that we get elected, especially if they're people that we wanted elected, to say, okay, you better come through with what you said you were going to do.
Yes, two things, and I'll be brief. Vote, 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 and use your voice. Don't underestimate the power of your voice, because you might think, I'm just one person. Well, guess what? If we all lift up our voices, not for one party or another, but for freedom, democracy, and fairness, we can and will have an impact, and it will create that pressure for those who are in positions of power to do the right thing by the Constitution.
Tulsi, as always, we appreciate you joining us, our senior political and military analyst. Folks, I think, again, today's broadcast just showed you the team that we've got for you on this show to get you educated, up to speed on all these issues that we're facing in our country. And more come, of course, during election season. Having Rick in studio today with us, but he joins us a couple times a week, Tulsi each week on the broadcast. You know why we're able to do that? They're team members. They're not just guests of the program. They work with us. It's because of your financial support of the ACLJ. Donate today at ACLJ.org. It's how we put this broadcast together. It's one part of your donation. Of course, we do all the other work, but ACLJ.org. Donate today.